कृष्णचंद चैतन्य चरितामृत चैप्टर 20 लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु इंस्ट्रक्ट सनातन गोस्वामी इन द साइंस ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ. द फॉलोइंग समरी ऑफ दिस चैप्टर इज गिवन बाय भक्तिनोद ठाकुर इन अमृत प्रवाह भाष्य. व्हेन सनातन गोस्वामी इज इम्प्रिसन्ड बाय नवाब हुसैन शाह ही रिसीव्ड न्यूज फ्रॉम रूप गोस्वामी द चैतन्य महाप्रभु हैड गॉन टू मथुरा. सनातन गोस्वामी देयर आफ्टर सैटिस्फाइड द सुपरिंटेंडेंट ऑफ द जेल by sweet solicitations and bribery. After giving the jailer 7,000 gold coins, Sanatan Goswami was released. He then crossed the Ganges and fled. One of his servants, Ishana, followed him, carrying 8 gold coins. Sanatan Goswami and his servant then spent the night in the small hotel on the way to Varanasi, Banaras. The hotel owner knew that Sanatan Goswami and his servant had 8 gold coins and he decided to kill them and take the money. Making plans in this way, the hotel owner received them as honorable guests. Sanatan Goswami, however, asked his servant how much money he had, and taking 7 of the gold coins, Sanatan offered them to the hotel owner. Thus, the owner helped them cross the hilly tract and proceed towards Varanasi. On the way, Sanatan Goswami met his brother-in-law Srikanta at Hajipura, and Srikanta helped him after he had heard all about Sanatan's troubles. Thus, Sanatan finally arrived at Varanasi and stood before the door of Chandrasekhara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him in and ordered him to change his dress so that he would look like a gentleman. For his garment, he used an old cloth of Tapan Mishras. Later, he exchanged his valuable blanket for a torn kilt. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased, and thus Sanatana Goswami received knowledge of the absolute truth from the Lord Himself.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि कौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Hare Krishna. So, practically all that part that we read in the introduction, there are no purports. So today, who is going to give the class? Who has a mic? Jai. Vijay Krishna is going to give the class today. So we'll start.
Vande Anantadbhuta Aishwaryam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum नीचोपि यत् प्रसादात् स्यात् भक्तिशास्त्रा प्रवर्तकः.
लेट मी ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंटू श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु हु हैज अनलिमिटेड वंडरफुल ओपुलेंसेस. बाय हिज मर्सी इवन अ पर्सन बॉर्न एज द लोवेस्ट ऑफ मेन कैन स्प्रेड द साइंस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस.
कंटिन्यू.
ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू नित्यानंद प्रभु. All glories to Advaita Acharya and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned in Bengal, a letter arrived from Srila Rupa Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami received this note from Rupa Goswami, he became very pleased. He immediately went to the jail superintendent, who was a meat eater, and spoke as follows. Sanatana Goswami told the Muslim jailkeeper, "Dear sir, you are a saintly person and are very fortunate. You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures such as the Quran and similar books. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
So Prabhupada in this purport, he talks about Sanatan's expert diplomacy. So Sanatan Goswami, he was like a top bureaucrat. So he knew all this art of how to deal with people. So he said, "You are very saintly person." So, if actually he was just a simple jailkeeper. A jailkeeper is not so advanced, not so intelligent person. But still he glorified him so that he can make him feel better. Right? So he's using Sama. So Sama then Dan also is going to use now after this. So how saintly he is, we'll come to know in the next few verses. Right? So in the purport, Prabhupada he also talks about how how Maya is all to its Avarnatmika and Pratyekshatmika Shaktis is trying to keep the conditioned souls always bound. And actually the greatest service that one can do is to remove this living entity from material bondage. So even though he's saying that if one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned according to religious principles, he himself is also released. So even though he's glorifying him falsely, but the principle that Sanatana Goswami is teaching is actually the absolute principle, like that. So then, continue.
Sanatana Goswami continued, "Previously I have done much for you. Now I am in difficulty. Please return my goodwill by releasing me. Here are 5,000 gold coins. Please accept them. By releasing me, you will receive the results of pious activities and gain material profit as well. Thus, you will profit in two ways simultaneously." In this way, Sanatana Goswami convinced the jailkeeper, who replied, "Please hear me, my dear sir. I am willing to release you, but I am afraid of the government." Sanatana replied, "There is no danger. The Nawab has gone to the south. If he returns, tell him that Sanatana went to pass Tool near the bank of the Ganges and that as soon as he saw the Ganges, he jumped in. Tell him I looked for him a long time, but I could not find any trace of him. He jumped in with his shackles and therefore he was drowned and washed away by the waves. There is no reason for you to be afraid, for I shall not remain in this country. I shall become a mendicant and go to the holy city of Mecca."
So was Sanatana Goswami lying? Is this ideal behavior of a devotee? Cheating for a great cause. Great people cheat for a great cause. Okay? So you are allowed to cheat? Anukulya Sankalpa. So whatever is favoring the process of surrender, do it. Like, you know, very early on in our movement, we had this very interesting book distribution party in in Japan. So lot of money used to come from there. So Prabhupada never asked until later on he found out. So what they would do is, one of the devotees was sharing this, who actually did this. So like, suppose, you know, Japanese businessmen used to have this very expensive pens. So they used to have this BTGs, like how now Prabhuji has a pen in his top pocket, right? So they would show them the BTG and they would hold the BTG in such a way. Right, so is there some thin long book we can demonstrate using that? Thin and long, maybe like a long notebook or something. Or maybe even with Subodhini, just get the Subodhini. Yeah, that is a good book, yeah. So, and Prabhuji, can you come here if you don't mind? So imagine, so they would hold the book like this and the businessman is standing here. They would show the book like this and while doing so, they would pick up the book. You know, they would, actually, that was expertise also. They would do it without them coming to know. They would just pick up the, so from the hook, it will just, of course, not exactly like this. So they would actually hook the expensive pen like this and they would pick it up and they would very deftly just take it in the other hand and go away. So like that they stole tons of pens, all gold plated pens, thank you bro, all gold plated pens and very expensive pens, and this was one of the things that they did. So yeah, abhi, you know, whatever yenakena prakarena, the statement was slightly stretched here. So is that bona fide? Are we allowed to do that? Because ultimately it all went into all our Mayapur, Vrindavan, Juhu was built by this money only. So in the ultimate sense, it was good, right? So it's good or bad? Why? To build temple is bad. Like even in that South Indian Rama, how Srirangam temple was built? Those four Alvars, they had mystic powers. They stole the money from the rich and that's how they built the temple. So it's okay, right? No. Why? mic, please.
The Prabhupada himself, after when he got to know such kind of practices are being done, he said ki we should behave like a proper gentleman.
Mm.
So here Sanatan Goswami did, he did not cheat, only diplomacy he used it, and for the cause of surrendering to the Lord. Here the kind of practices are being done, even Srila Prabhupada also did not approve it, earning from by the ill means, right?
So is giving bribe okay? Suppose we want to build a temple, we want to get land deal permission. So is it okay to bribe the government officials and get permission to build a temple? Yes. If there is no other alternative, then we have to do that also. Or how about taking donations from, say, from mafia people or corrupt politicians? If they give you donation, will you take it? You should not take it. Are they are giving you donations to build your temple.
There are many things to be considered.
Many things to be considered. Huh?
Time, place and circumstance.
Hmm.
For example, what Sanatan Goswami is doing, he is not representing any institution or great cause like that. He is on himself. So he doing something which is for his good cause is not going to spoil some big show. But
okay.
But devotees, they are representing ISKCON. If they do something like this and that is caught, then that brings a bad reputation to ISKCON.
Mm.
So there are many factors which has to be considered before doing anything.
Okay, nice. Yes, Vijay. I'm Sri Krishna Prabhu.
One more factor can be considered, like Sanatan Goswami being a exalted person. After doing this is a cheating, but he was not affected and he did not repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So of a person who are into the modes, if he does and he continues it, then it will be kind
how
of...
How do you know he was not affected? He got all the boils on his body. He got reactions for his bad karma.
I don't know whether it was because of this or something else.
How do you know that? On what basis did you say he did not get any reactions?
At least he did not repeat the same thing.
Oh, he did not... Only one time you can commit a crime.
No. In case of emergency, it can be repeated. Okay. But
in case of emergency, I can go steal... Desire to surrender.
The purpose for which he did this diplomacy, used it, he fulfilled it. It was not compromised.
Hmm. Okay.
And there was no personal consideration in this.
Okay. Any other munis on this side? The fanatic munis, do they want? Yes.
We can make fool for some time, but not all the time. One person can make fool for some time, but not every time. So in this way, the whole society will be, the things will be disclosed and will be looked down upon. So
ultimately, it was the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told them to retire from the service and come back to him.
Ultimately, it was Prabhupada's instruction to build temples.
Prabhupada's instruction, but...
Yeah, so we should build temples.
But that was the only way.
Okay, the punishment given, this is a new perspective. Sanatan's punishment was not wrong, not just. So because it's an unjust cause, to counteract an unjust action, you can also use unjust means. Kya bolte hai wo thorn, kya bolte hai usko? Kante ko kante ke saath nikalo. Tit for tat. Okay. The golden principle is never violate dharma. Period. Always speak the truth, never violate the truth. Exceptional people, when they make exceptional actions like this, cannot be standardized. We should not study these part of lives of acharyas and make them our Vaishnava ticket manual. When you are making a Vaishnava ticket manual as a general principle of our action should always be guided by what the scriptures are saying. The scriptures are saying bribing is bad, it is bad. The scriptures are saying that dishonesty is bad, then dishonesty is bad. That's it. No compromise. You cannot quote Sanatan Goswami here and do some actions like that. However, having said this, when such great personalities do it, we cannot judge them. We cannot hold this against them. But in our life, we should try to follow by the rule book. Because many times what happens is, these kind of case studies always come prominently in our head. If not directly Sanatan Goswami, somewhere around us, our immediate neighborhood, our immediate seniors, or you know, somebody in our parampara like that, they come to our head and we say, ah, he did that, so we should also do it. No. Dharma is fixed. If you violate dharma, you will get reactions. That is a law of nature. So there is no white dharma, white adharma. Right? You cannot whitewash your adharma saying this thing. So it is a rule. So what Sanatan Goswami did here is unjust. We cannot repeat it. But we cannot say that he is wrong. We don't have the right to say that he is wrong. Right? So all the other answers that you gave are right. Will of the Lord, and he was unaffected. He did it for a holy cause, for noble cause. All these answers are right. So we can. It's good to think that way and justify the action of an acharya. But we cannot start acting. We cannot be our own acharyas and start acting like that.
So the dharma principles, but if you see in that sense, we are not following many of the dharma principles. For example, doing our prescribed duties, taking up to a particular course of life.
Who said you will not get reactions for that? You will get reactions for that. Any doubts?
So, but isn't this propagated, and aren't we doing this?
Yes, we are violating a lot of laws of dharma. And you will get reactions for that. So better do your bhakti properly. Moment you become slack, those things will come back. We have our devotional path and our dharmic path. Don't think your devotional credits will compensate for the adharma that you are doing. It can give you the strength to face the obstacles or the reactions that you get due to following adharmic path. Always better to stick to the path of dharma. Simple things. Many times we think that we are beyond the worldly laws or national laws or government laws or whatever, all these things. If you violate a red light, you are violating red light, you will get a fine. You will get a ticket for doing that. So likewise, even the worldly laws are also there. So we cannot think that we are transcendental to all these things. As long as we are under the modes of the three, influence of the three modes of material nature, we are bound by these laws. So these two tracks are going on steadily. That is what happened with many of these devotees. Of course, there are many other reasons, transcendental reasons, but moment they became slack in their devotional practice, all these reactions came upon them as flood. And they had to go through a really lot of suffering and purification because of that. So we can never think we are beyond these laws of dharma and karma. Okay? So that story is quoted in the context that he did not understand what is dharma in the first place. The dharma of ahimsa was higher than the dharma of satya. So he actually misinterpreted dharma, and in that context that story is told. So telling the truth is lesser truth than saving the life of the cow. So in that, so that was not an emergency situation. Emergency situation is like, you know, Yeah, so exactly. So like that kind of exceptional situations, you end up having to, you're starving in a desert, and the only thing you got to eat there was meat. Then should we eat meat or should we die? Those are emergency situations.
That's the highest dharma, the Guru dharma. For that dharma, all other dharmas can be violated.
If genuinely the, see, like I said, how this, how the laws of karma work, if we see the Bhagavad Gita, the main principle of Bhagavad Gita is how actions don't bind the jiva, it is the intentions that bind the jiva, the state of consciousness that binds the jiva. So Arjuna was killing the warriors, but he was not getting reactions. That was akarma according to Krishna's definition, because in his heart, tasmat sarveshu ma manusmaru yudhevacha mai arpita manobuddhir, because he has surrendered to Krishna and he performed his action. Yeah, so like that, because he has surrendered, so therefore he was not bound by the karmic laws. It is called akarma. But if he had even a tinge of enjoyment that, look, I'm enjoying that bloodshed, you know, so then he will get the reactions for that. So many times what happens at our state, we enjoy the credit of having accomplished something. Therefore, we are ready to resort to any means possible to accomplish that activity. And we like to share that story that, look what I did. You know, out of some achievement, we do that. If you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Arjuna was not excited killing all his relatives. In fact, he says, opens his heart to Narad Muni, saying that, how difficult it is to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Throughout those 18 days, he was extremely miserable, Arjuna. Even though they were winning the battle, he had to suffer the agony of killing his own kinsmen, his own family people. So he said it was not easy. Don't think that just because he heard Bhagavad Gita, now tick, 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 now he's stone cold. He was still as compassionate in his heart as he was before the Bhagavad Gita. But he was able to tolerate that pain by the power of Bhagavad Gita. But so that is a point. So there is still suffering, but you get the strength to overcome that. So it was no more karma for Arjuna, but when there is even a tinge of material enjoyment in that action, then you get bound. So therefore, if you are genuinely thinking this is parodharma action and, you know, I am doing it for the welfare of the parampara and guru and Krishna, and in that mood, then you will not be bound. But I am serving guru and Krishna through me. Then you are in trouble. Like that. Very subtle though. Yeah. Continue.
There is no reason for you to be afraid, for I shall not remain in this country. I shall become a mendicant and go to the holy city of Mecca. Sanatana Goswami could see that the mind of the meat eater was still not satisfied. He then stacked 7,000 gold coins before him. When the meat eater saw the coins, he was attracted to them. He then agreed, and that night he cut Sanatana's shackles and let him cross the Ganges. In this way, Sanatana Goswami was released. However, he was not able to walk along the path of the fortress. Walking day and night, he finally arrived at the hilly tract of land known as Patala.
So that was the morality of that superintendent, the jailkeeper. So he was a very noble man, knowledgeable man, and his knowledge came out with 7,000 gold coins extra. So like that.
After reaching Patala, he met a landholder and submissively requested him to get him across that hilly tract of land. A man who was expert in palmistry was at that time staying with the landlord. Knowing about Sanatan, he whispered the following in the landlord's ear. The palmist said, "This man Sanatan possesses 8 gold coins." Hearing this, the landlord was very pleased and spoke the following to Sanatan Goswami. The landlord said, "I shall get you across that hilly tract at night with my own men. Now just cook for yourself and take your lunch." Saying this, the landlord offered Sanatan grain to cook. Sanatan then went to the riverside and took his bath. Because Sanatan had been fasting for 2 days, he cooked the food and ate it. However, having formerly been a minister of the Nawab, he began to contemplate the situation. As a former minister for the Nawab, Sanatan could certainly understand diplomacy. He therefore thought, why is this landlord offering me such respect? Thinking in this way, he questioned his servant, whose name was Ishan.
See, this is how expert a devotee has to be. So, even though Sanatan Goswami is now a transformed person, he was still using his skills. So, a devotee is not naive. He is expert at things, he is expert at dealing with people also. So, just because he is now a mendicant, he is no more a prime minister, doesn't mean he should not be using his prime minister skills. So, Sanatan Goswami was still expert. He was watchful. He was alert in every situation. Why this landlord is so... can you imagine two beggars come to GV and you bring them, you come them, you offer them a nice AC room, you go massage their feet, go to their room and offer them nice hot meal, a feast. Right? Will anybody ever do that? No. But in spite of them being like a mendicants, why this jail keeper is so kind? So like that. So devotees have to be very expert. Because I remember, you know, when our doing that Mayapur Yatra, Purushottam Prabhu was once saying that Kolkata Sabzi Mandi, you also used to go with him, no? The Kolkata Sabzi Mandi was so dangerous. Because they notice these sadhus are coming for 10 days, you would go there, right? These sadhus, every time they come, they buy a truckload full of vegetables and go. So what does it mean? They have money. So literally, Prabhuji was showing that, you know, they would, and how expert they are, they would just come with a knife and chik, they would just cut their, kurta ka wo jo pocket, and they would take money. So Prabhuji, knowing that, he would have a waste pouch, right? So one time, he didn't even realize, but somebody came in front of him with a knife, tore his kurta from the top, trying to reach that pocket. And they did it so expertly, they didn't even realize that unka koi kurta kata wagera. After some time, he saw that, arey, why is my kurta torn from the top? Then he noticed, arey, Lakshmi was fortunately there, right? Did we lose Lakshmi anytime? Yeah, it was there, yeah. So that was how expert they were. So devotees, we have to be extremely careful, you know. In general, worldly dealings, you have to be careful. You cannot expect the whole world to be like GV. So you still have to use those. And it was so dangerous actually, doing that shopping. Or Prabhuji, who else used to accompany? Premanjan Prabhu also used to come, right? Just two of them used to go. And like 5 hours sitting in the truck going and purchasing, another 5 hours coming back. So whole day their seva used to be that, literally go shopping, sabzi mandi shopping. So like that. Why I was mentioning the example was that how Sanatan's, so because many times we carry these conceptions that now that I am a sadhu, yes, we have to think sadhu, we have to think simple and give up diplomacy, but at the same time we should still be worldly wise. Don't become too naive. Too naive with outsiders and being diplomatic with insiders. Both are bad. You need to balance these two things. So don't be so naive also in your dealings. Okay? Of course, that instruction you guys don't need. Maybe the other instruction. Don't be too diplomatic with people inside. That instruction also is needed. Because that this same Sanatan, who was so watchful about how much gold coins he had and by studying the attitude of the people, this is the same Sanatan who walked on the hot sand and burnt his feet. Now, somebody may say, is he so dumb? He didn't even know ki afternoon hot sun, bare feet, your feet will burn. Did he not know this? He was a prime minister. Didn't he know the simple fact that afternoon sun will be hot? Right? Even a kindergarten kid knows this. So this is the same Sanatan. So this is the expertise of a devotee. This is how actually an ideal devotee has to be. When needed, they are supremely expert. And when needed, they are supremely simple. Another example we think of is Hanuman. You know, I always get amazed with the character of Hanuman. Because this is the same Hanuman who knows all the Vedas by heart, who is an expert Vedantist. But the same Hanuman who, just to please Lord Ram, put sindoor all over his body and was jumping. Can you imagine these two pastimes? Right? Total contradiction. So, both, if you see, but the underlying theme is both are enhancing the quality of his expression of his devotion. Saralata with respect to the Lord and devotees brings out the sweetness of devotion, and dexterity, dakshata, with respect to dealing with other things outside, will also bring out the quality of one's devotion. So these two need to be, a devotee should say, it is, and it comes naturally, we cannot fake it. This is also important. You cannot fake being simple, you cannot fake being very expert with public dealings. You are who you are, this has to come out naturally. Like that. Does it make sense? Sorry? Naive means very simple. Bhola. Hanumanji was literally bhola, na? Inexperienced, yeah. Why? Bhola, wahi hota hai na? Jo. Huh? Yeah, bhola. Oh, Jai. In the drama, correct, correct. Okay, continue.
Sanatan asked his servant, Ishan, I think you have some valuable things with you. Ishan replied, yes, I have 7 gold coins. Hearing this, Sanatan Goswami chastised his servant, saying, why have you brought this death knell with you? Thereupon, Sanatan Goswami took the 7 gold coins in his hands and went to the landlord. Holding the gold coins before him, he spoke as follows. I have these 7 gold coins with me. Please accept them. And from a religious point of view, please get me across that hilly tract of land. I am a prisoner of the government and I cannot go along the way of the ramparts. It will be very pious of you to take this money and kindly get me across this hilly tract of land. Smiling, the landlord said, before you offered them, I already knew that there were 8 gold coins in your servant's possession. On this very night, I would have killed you and taken your coins. It is very good that you have voluntarily offered them to me. I am now relieved from such a sinful activity. I am very satisfied with your behavior. I shall not accept these gold coins, but I shall get you across a hilly tract of land simply to perform a pious activity. Sanatan Goswami replied, if you do not accept these coins, someone else will kill me for them. It is better that you save me from the danger by accepting the coins. After this settlement was made, the landlord gave Sanatan Goswami 4 watchmen to accompany him. They went through the forest path for the whole night and thus brought him over the hilly tract of land.
So how many coins did the landlord say he servant has? 8. How many coins did Ishan say he had?
7.
So there's still 1 coin. So Sanatan didn't go back to Ishan and say, you rascal, you lied to me. Right? So he never demanded surrender beyond the capacity of his servant also. But still, the expertise of a devotee is, even though he doesn't, sometimes we hold back our material attachments, right? See, Ishan was literally lying. He literally lied to him, right? He said, I brought 7 gold coins, he has 7 gold coins, but he still kept 1 with him. So, sometimes when you're dealing with your subordinates, you may be at a very exalted level. But if your subordinates are not at that level, you cannot force higher levels of surrender from them. But at the same time, you should understand that you have to purify that tendency that they have also. So look how expertly now Sanatan is going to guide this person.
After crossing the hills, Sanatan Goswami told his servant, Ishan, I think you still have some balance left from the gold coins. Ishan replied, I still have 1 gold coin in my possession. Sanatan Goswami then said, take the coin and return to your home.
That's it. Right? So now, leave home. Leave for home. So, it helped him only. That particular Ishan, it helped him, that 1 gold coin. So, that is how expertly sometimes. So, sometimes, you know, Prabhupada, he would sometimes ease certain principles, ease certain rules to facilitate the natural evolution of surrender in many of his disciples. In his books and in his purports, he would always mention the absolute standard of surrender. But sometimes in his personal dealings or sometimes in his letters and conversations, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So in his personal dealings and conversations, they would he would demonstrate the principle of how you have to sometimes, especially dealing with subordinates, you have to be a little kind and adjust the situation accordingly. So again, you cannot hold those as the highest principle like that. His absolute standards are there in his purports and books like that. Okay, continue.
After departing from Ishan, Sanatana Goswami began traveling alone with a water pot in his hand. Simply covered with a torn quilt, he thus lost all his anxiety. Walking and walking.
See, when you are carrying less with you, when you are carrying less baggage with you, you are free from anxiety. Right? So I remember when our BT days, we had gone to Jagannath Puri. Remember that we had gone for Rath Yatra. So somehow in that Rath Yatra, I had lost my footwear. So then, and we were not allowed to carry phones. Did you guys have a Madhukari Yatra anytime? Huh? Acha, acha, acha. Everything was pre-booked. Okay. Huh? Spontaneously, you got invited everywhere. Jai. Then you're extremely fortunate. So usually, most of these yatras are pre-booked. We also know who's going to invite us spontaneously. Also, to that level, planning goes. But some sections, they are austere. So when we had gone to Puri, so the rule was you cannot carry, Lakshmi, you cannot carry mobile phones. And anyway, that time mobile phones were not common also. So only Shadbhuj Prabhu had phone with him. None of us had any phone. So then we had gone and we all got dispersed. Because, you know, Rath Yatra is such a chaotic scene. Nobody knows who's there. I lost my footwear. I lost contact with devotees. And that whole day, it was so tiring that end of the day, after reaching Gundicha, I was searching, where is everyone? And our room was not anywhere close by. It was near the beach. So we had to go past all the way, cross the main temple, CG temple, then go beyond that Haridas Thakur Samadhi, wo area mein tha. So literally another, this is 3 kilometers plus another 2 kilometers, about 5 kilometers walk was there. And I was so tired. And at that time, the rickshaw wallas double and triple their prices. And I had nothing in my pocket to give. And the room was also locked. I thought even if I go to the room, ask money from someone, and that, so nothing, so no option was there. Then I was thinking, what to do. So that time as we were walking back, fortunately I met Bhagwan Pandit Prabhu. So Bhagwan Pandit Prabhu and I, and he is another sadhu. So he just tied his, you know, waist cloth and he started walking. So then after seeing that I was a little tired, he said, so Prabhu, I think we should eat something. I said, yes, do you have any money? He said, money? Why do you need money to eat? Just walk in. And he just took me along with him. So there's a free annadan that happens everywhere during Rath Yatra. So he just walked, took me into one of the, you know, mathas, and they were offering khichdi there. So we just sat down. And before you enter into that mat, there's a big crowd outside that mat. So what was happening was people were all leaving their chappal there. So because we didn't have any chappals, we bypassed that entire chappal queue and we walked straight inside. We ate, and again after coming out also there was a big crowd there. We again bypassed that chappal queue because no luggage, no anxiety. You know, so that is how, you know, when you are a water pot in your hand and you are covered with torn quilt, he lost all his anxiety. So like that. So, yeah, sometimes it, all the time, not just sometimes, every time it hurts. But at least I was seeing, you know, we saved a lot of time. Otherwise, we could have caught up for another half an hour in that queue only, the chappal queue. So we just ate, we got a lot of energy. We started walking back. Eventually, we reached home, but it was after a short break like that. Continue.
Walking and walking, Sanatan Goswami finally arrived at a place called Hajipur. That evening, he sat down within a garden. In Hajipur, there was a gentleman named Srikant, who happened to be the husband of Sanatan Goswami's sister. He was engaged here in government service. Srikant had 3 lakh gold coins with him, which had been given to him by the emperor for the purchase of horses. Thus, Srikant was buying horses and dispatching them to the emperor. When Srikant was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatan Goswami. That night he took a servant and went to see Sanatan Goswami. When they met, they had many conversations. Sanatan Goswami told him in detail about his arrest and release. Srikant then told Sanatan Goswami, "Stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. Abandon this dirty garments." Sanatan Goswami replied, "I shall not stay here even for a moment. Please help me cross the Ganges. I shall leave immediately."
See, this is how determined a practitioner is. Like if you see in the life of Lord Buddha also. When Buddha didn't just suddenly sit under a tree and ting, he just, there was an aura around him, you know, batti jal gaya bolte na. Aise ki suddenly ting bol ke aura aa gaya and he's become self-realized. He had to battle a lot of his inner demons. So all these 6 anarthas came as 6 personified people. And they tried tempting him. And he was able to overcome those 6 anarthas. And that is how he became Buddha. Enlightened. So the journey from Siddhartha to Buddha is not an easy one. Likewise, in the story of Hanumanji also, on the way to Lanka, so many of these obstacles came. Mainaka Parvat comes and, you know, that the demon who would hold the shadow, Simhika, all these demons would come. But he was fixed, Vyavsayatmika Buddhi. He was fixed on his goal. So here also Sanatan, he got all these obstacles. And one of the biggest obstacles which comes in the process for a sadhaka's life is little break, relax. Anyway, you are reaching your destination. Why rush? Wait, take a break. Relax for some time. You've been attending Mangalarti for like 2 years you attended Mangalarti in Vidyapeeth. Right? Then 1 month take a break. Yeah? Nothing. Anyway, left soul, you are joining ashram now, so you have to attend Mangalarti every day anyway. 1 month you can take a break. Right? So then you studied Bhagavatam for 2 months. Actually, this happens with everyone. This happens with everyone. As soon as Vidyapeeth course is over, you know, 2 things happen. One, either they give up the books for some time, or two, they open the books immediately because they are so confused, they realize they have not read anything in 2 years. And they open the book immediately, especially they start with CC. Because CC is rushed every time. The last portion, and usually CC is rushed. We don't spend as much time as we spend with Bhagavatam. So they all pick up CC. And for the rest of their life, they read CC only. They don't go beyond that book. So anyway, the idea is, these 2 years, this Vidyapeeth training is only to give you a teaser, like a taste. You know, you get that sample. Sometimes kitchen makes something new and then they give you a sample. They spend only a small bucket to the ashram. So everybody gets one tiny piece, just for feedback. Right? So this is, the Vidyapeeth program is like that. You get a sample. But eventually you have to dive deep and cook for yourself and taste it. So your study of Bhagavatam is not over in these 2 years. And Chaitanya is not over. You are just given a small taste so that you can continue this for the rest of your life. Because only if you have taste, you will do something. So that taste you are being given now. Like that. But here Sanatan, see, he was given the opportunity. And it was not some outsider also. Especially when some known person is there, we let our guard down. Right? In a known environment, it is easy for us to be lethargic. It is easy for us to be lackadaisical. Right? Like when we go home, what happens? What happens, Ganganath Prabhu? we are in Nidrananda, right? So these things, Sanatan is demonstrating here, as our Sambandha Acharya is demonstrating how he was so fixed. So that is the standard he is expecting from us. Continue.
With great care, Shrikant gave him a woolen blanket and helped him cross the Ganges. Thus Sanatan Goswami departed again. After a few days, Sanatan Goswami arrived at Varanasi. He was very pleased to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival there.
Okay, now we'll read the verses. Chandrasekhara gharaya shi dvatere vasila twarete Mahaprabhu jani Chandrasekhara kahila.
Sanatan Goswami then went to the house of Chandrasekhar and sat down by the door. Understanding what was happening, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Chandrasekhar.
Dwara eka vaishnava haya bolaha tahare. Chandrasekhar dekha vaishnava nahika dware.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is a devotee at your door. Please call him in. Going outside, Chandrasekhar could not see a Vaishnava at the door.
Dware te vaishnava nahi prabhure kahila. Keha haye kari prabhu tahare puchila.
When Chandrasekhar informed the Lord that no Vaishnava was at his door, the Lord asked him, is there anyone at all at your door?
Teho kahe eka daravesha achidware. Tareyana prabhura vakye kahila tahare.
Chandrasekhar replied, there is a Muslim mendicant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, please bring him here. Chandrasekhar then spoke to Sanatan Goswami, who was still sitting beside the door.
See, Sanatan Goswami, he knew the address. He came to the right house, right? But he still didn't enter inside. See, that is humility personified. You know, in that famous lecture series, Maharaj talks about how Sanatan Goswami is the emblem of humility. So, because he did not consider himself qualified that now I deserve the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, where are you? Come, I am here, take my darshan. Right, that was not Sanatan Goswami's mood. Even after reaching, he was just waiting there patiently, hoping that by Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, if he calls me, then I'll get to see him. I can only sit and wait. That was the mood he was showing. And so much so that, see, his situation was so horrible that even a fellow Vaishnava could not identify him. Right? At least we derive sympathy from other, when we are going through a rough phase in life, we tend to derive sympathy from the people around us. But he was in such a miserable state that even devotees couldn't even identify that he was a devotee. Right? That is how extreme circumstances Sanatan Goswami was going through. In spite of extreme circumstances, he exhibited extreme levels of humility. That is why he is Sanatan Goswami. Right? Anybody else would have been craving for attention and sympathy in that situation. Because you just escaped one, right? You escaped from the prison. That itself is like a big achievement. Right? Two, you almost survived a life-threatening attack in the innkeeper house. So he gave him. Then three, he went through a long, arduous journey. Four, he had to fight his inner temptations with Srikanta, who was offering him free stay and good clothes and opulent life. Right? He was offering all these things. He was able to battle his own. That was probably the most difficult thing to do. He battled his own inner enemies. And finally, after the long journey, he reached. So by this time, you would be looking for relief. How relief? Immediately go meet Mahaprabhu. But even still, he didn't do that. He was just sitting there outside, patiently waiting. So that is the hallmark of our Sanatan Goswami. Then, Prabhu Tomaya Bolaya Aisha Darvesha Shuni Anande Sanatana Karila Pravesha.
O Muslim mendicant, please come in. The Lord is calling you. Sanatan Goswami was very pleased to hear this order and he entered Chandrasekhar's house.
Tahara angane dekhi prabhu daya aila. Prabhu dhanya aila. Tare alingana kari prema vishta haila.
As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatan Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love.
That is how Krishna will receive us in the spiritual world. Right? After going through all the burning in the material world, when we go get liberated, so that is how Krishna will come running and embrace us. Like how then that Gopakumar story, like how Krishna does. Right? So even though Sanatan was in, nobody could identify Sanatan. No Vaishnava could identify Sanatan, but the Lord, he could immediately identify. Then he says, Prabhu Sparshe Prema Vishta Haila Sanatana. More na chuiya kahe gadgada vachana.
More na chuiya. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, Oh my Lord, do not touch me.
Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandrasekhar was very much astonished to see this. Are why Muslim Darvesh ko dekh itna ecstasy kya a gaya? Right? So that he was thinking. Then, catching his hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took Sanatan Goswami inside and made him sit on an elevated place next to him. Right? So imagine you are in somebody's house and some beggar on the street, somebody brings him inside and takes him to your bedroom and makes him sit there. What will you be thinking? Right? So poor Chandrasekhar Acharya, he was also thinking, Koyar, some Muslim fellow just brought him inside and take him inside my house. Huh? What is this happening? Then Mahaprabhu explains. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began cleansing Sanatan Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand. Then Sanatan Goswami said, Oh my Lord, please do not touch me. Lord replied, I am touching you just to purify myself. Because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole world. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Then another verse is quoted from Haribhakti Vilas. Even though a person is very learned scholar of Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is a pure, unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motives to enjoy fruitive activity or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. And that famous qualities of a Brahmana verse that is quoted here. Then, Tuma dekhi toma sparshe gai toma raguna. Sarvendriya phala ei shastra nirupana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, By seeing you, by touching you, and by glorifying your transcendental qualities, one can perfect the purpose of all sense activity. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures.
This is again a quotation from Haribhakti Suhodaya. How simply, dear Vaishnav, seeing a person like you is a perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is a perfection of sense of touch. Glorifying your qualities is perfection of tongue. For in this material world, it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord. Eta kahi kahe prabhu shuna sanatana. Krishna bada daya maya patita pavana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, My dear Sanatan, please hear from me. Krishna is very merciful and he is the deliverer of all fallen souls.
Why is Krishna, why is Mahaprabhu saying about Krishna's mercy suddenly? Why is Krishna bada daya, it was a Mahaprasadi prayers ko chalu ho gaya kya? Why Krishna bada daya maya came here? Saved from what? Finally, you are relieved from this material bondage. So, when somebody comes to the shelter of Krishna, even though externally, materially, he has gone through a lot of suffering and materially, he has gone through a lot of downgrading, it is to be seen as Krishna's mercy. So Sanatan went through his share of trials and tribulations in life just to reach to this point. So, sometimes we go through different tribulations. So we have to see, we should also see, we should always read this verse. Like Mahaprabhu is personally standing next to us and saying, Krishna Bada Dayamai Patita Pavan. So Mahaprabhu is telling us that we should learn to see, this is how Vaishnavas give solace. Right? Sanatan actually went through a great ordeal. So the general typical response would be, oh, it's not your fault, don't worry, you're all right, situation will be nice, it'll become nice soon. You know, the worldly way of consoling people is giving them false solace. But the real solace is to show that how everything is happening by mercy of the Lord, and seeing the hand of Lord in one's suffering. That is the way one should try to see our own life, and if needed, present that perspective to others in a very non-judgmental and compassionate way, like that. So Mahaprabhu is teaching us this thing, that how Krishna is Dayamai. Why? Because next verse is going to say, Maharava haite toma karila udhara kripara samudra Krishna gambhira apara.
My dear Sanatan, Krishna has saved you from Maharaurava, life's deepest hell. He is an ocean of mercy and his activities are very grave.
It's from, actually it seems like he was Mahabhagya earlier. He was a prime minister with unlimited wealth. So how did he save him from Maharaurava? So that is a vision of a sadhu. He sees prosperity as failure and failure as prosperity. Right? Materially speaking, Sanatan lost all his wealth and prosperity. And now he was suffering like a mendicant, like a beggar. But Mahaprabhu is saying, actually your suffering now is your greatest fortune. Previously you were very unfortunate. All that so-called material opulence which was surrounding you are saved from Maharaura. What is Maharaura? Who goes to Maharaura? Huh? Which sinful person? When you kill an animal, or when you serve people who are killing animals, you go to Maharaura. So Mahaprabhu was presenting in that context. So all these you are serving these animal killers. So you could have, you are going to this hell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami how merciful the Lord is. Sanatana Goswami was a minister in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. He was always mixing with material inclined people, particularly with Muslim meat eaters. Although he was in intimate touch with them, by Krishna's mercy he came to find such association distasteful. Therefore he left them. Tektva tu namashesha mandalapatim shrenim sada tuchavat. All the shreni, all the opulence, he just left it like tuchha, like insignificant thing. That is why Mahaprabhu was appreciating him. Sanatana kahe Krishna ami nahi jani. Amara udhara hetu tomara kripamani.
Sanatan replied, I do not know who Krishna is. As far as I am concerned, I have been released from prison only by your mercy.
Right. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Sanatan Goswami, how were you released from the prison? Sanatan then described the whole story from beginning to end. Then, I met you, both your brothers, Rupa and Anupam at Prayag. They have now gone to Vrindavan. Then, Mahaprabhu ordered Sanatan Goswami to meet both Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara. Then, he said, Tapan Mishra tabhe tare kaila nimantrana. Prabhu kare kshaura karaha yaha Sanatana.
Tapan Mishra then extended an invitation to Sanatan, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan to go get a shave.
See, why is so many details being given? So there is an important critical lesson from this. We'll read after two verses. Chandrasekhara Prabhu kahe bolaya. Eve shedura kara yaha iharalaya.
After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Chandrasekhar and asked him to take Sanatana Goswami with him. He also asked him to take away Sanatana's present dress.
Bhadra karai tare gangasnana karila.
Bhadra karai tare
gangasnana karila. Shekara aniyatai nutana vastra dila.
Chandrasekhar then made Sanatan Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganges and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes.
So the words Bhadrakarya are significant in this verse. Sanatan Goswami looked like a hippie. So Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatan Goswami's hippie features. He immediately asked Chandrasekhar to go get him shaved. If anyone with long hair or a beard wants to join this Krishna consciousness movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. Right? The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. So this is our standard. Like that. Then Chandrasekhar offered a new set of garments to Sanatan Goswami, but Sanatan did not accept them. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of this news, he became unlimitedly happy. After bathing at noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Tapan Mishra for lunch. He took Sanatan Goswami with him. After washing his feet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down for lunch. He asked Tapan Mishra to supply Sanatan Goswami lunch also. Tapan Mishra then said, Sanatan had some duty to perform, therefore he cannot accept lunch now. At the conclusion of the meal, I shall supply Sanatan with some remnants. After eating, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest for a while. Tapan Mishra then gave Sanatan Goswami the remnants of food left by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Tapan Mishra offered Sanatan Goswami a new cloth, he did not accept it. Instead, he spoke as follows. If you have some old cloth according to your desire, please give me an old cloth you have used. When Tapan Mishra gave Sanatan Goswami a used dhoti, Sanatan immediately tore it into pieces to make two set of outer cloth and underwear. So he made him one Bahir Vastra and Kaupin. That is all. He gave him a dhoti. He tore it into half, made it into a Angavastra upar, and one Kaupin. That is all that Sanatan would wear. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Maharashtrian Brahman to Sanatan, the Brahman immediately invited Sanatan for full meals. The Brahman said, my dear Sanatan, as long as you remain at Kashi, please accept lunch at my place. Sanatan said, I shall practice the process of Madhukari. Why should I accept full meals in the house of a Brahmana? The word Madhukari comes from the word Madhukara, which means, refers to how, like how the bees collect. You know, they go to different, you know, flowers. They collect, right? And so it's also very relevant in that context because there is a science of Madhukari also. So Maharaj, in one lecture, he mentions, I had that honey, yes. Yeah. So like how these sadhus, they know which house you should go, which ashram you should go, which day. So you get good meal. You know, like they know, okay, today is this particular temple Acharya's disappearance day. So today they will have a big feast. So we should go for Madhukari in this temple. You know? So they have a unwritten protocol. All the sadhus in all these dhams, especially in Vrindavan and all these places. So they know where to go. Like on Prabhupada disappearance day, all the sadhus, they like to come to ISKCON. You know? So like that, they have different days they know. So it's very interesting because I was reading a book about bees. Bees also have some language in which they communicate. Because you may be wondering, usually bees, they go in a big swarm. How do they know that which bee may, honey hai ki nahi hai? So every bee sees the bee before them. And based on the angle at which the bee moved from one flower to another flower, and is it moving sideways or this way? You see, sometimes bees are just hovering like this. So that is an indication saying that in the previous angle, there is a detail actually. The side at which it is moving, if you were to draw a 90 degrees angle, so that particular row of flowers it has covered. So the other bee coming behind will see, wo aisa kar raha hai, toh ye flower ho gaya, toh next flower karte hai. That is how advanced Madhukari language, Madhukari. So like that advanced Madhukari language even the sadhus have. Like that. But, yes Prabhu.
I have two questions which I had many.
Is it about bees?
No.
Okay, good. Thank God. That was just a side point.
Yes. Yeah. So first is Sanatan Goswami took used dhoti. So normally we say we should not use someone else's clothes right? That is, I heard many times. So that is one thing. And second is, even after his spiritual master is accepting bhiksha in different brahmanas' houses, but Sanatan Goswami is telling, I will do madhukari. So normally we follow our seniors. So these two questions.
Both the attitudes are right. Because in both of them, you are actually upholding the instruction of spiritual master. Sanatan goes, so naturally the standard we follow that you said is, we don't try to be greater renunciates than our spiritual master. Right? We don't try to show we are bigger than our spiritual master. So therefore, we submissively follow what standard is being followed. But Sanatan Goswami's attitude here was not to show that how he is greater than Mahaprabhu. But his intention was, I lived a life of so much of luxury, I have so much of conditioning in me, I have to quickly decondition myself. So therefore, I lived a life of luxury where I would wear opulent clothes. So now let me wear used cloth. And that too not full cloth, half cloth, just a kaupin and a angavastra, pahir vastra. That's all. I lived a life where I would have any food that I want at my disposal. Now let me just go and dispose myself at the houses of other people and get what food they are disposing of. Let me just eat that food. So he is basically upholding the same instruction of spiritual master of setting the right standard of devotional service. So we lead this purport about Madhukari. A Madhukari is a saintly person or a mendicant who does not accept a full meal at one house but begs from door to door. Taking a little food from each householder's place, in this way he does not overeat or give householders unnecessary trouble. Right? A person in the renounced order. I know. So, again, this is also a joke, but it's a very practical joke. Sometimes, you know, householders, they invite devotees for home, for, you know, feast or something like that. So before we go itself, we give a whole menu that, okay, are you making this? Okay, good. Right? And sometimes, so in GV, now we don't, it's forbidden from doing that. But earlier we had a big long ishta goshti. I remember Sanat Kumar Prabhu telling this point. So he would say that usually we like to choose those houses where we know that the person can cook well. So we accept Madhukari invitations only from those houses. You know, or like Brahman Bhojan invitations from those houses where we know this person makes nice sweets or, you know, menu is good. Where you know the menu will be nice, you accept. So that there itself you have defeated the whole purpose of going for Madhukari or for Brahman Bhojan. You are going to actually just do some kirtan, katha and bless them and take some Krishna prasad and come. So this is for the renunciate, this is like a big hurdle actually, the tongue. A person in the renounced order may beg but not cook. His begging should not be a burden for the householders. Right? Okay, tomorrow I'm coming to your house for begging for cheese pizza, okay? Be ready. 9 o'clock I'll come to beg in your house. Be ready. That is not how Madhukari works. The Madhukari process is still to be followed by a Babaji. That is one who has attained the Paramahamsa stage. This practice is still current in Vrindavan and there are many places where alms are offered. Unfortunately, there are many beggars who have come to Vrindavan to accept alms but not follow the principles of Sanatan Goswami. People try to imitate him and lead an ideal life by practicing Madhukari. It is also impossible, almost impossible to strictly follow Rupa and Sanatan. It is better to accept food offered to Krishna in the temple than try to imitate Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. The ideal sannyasi strictly follows the ways practiced by the Goswamis. See how Prabhupada is balancing. Of course, this kind of tapasya will definitely purify you, but greater purification is engaging your time in the service of the spiritual master. That's actually greater purification. So because we end up spending so much of time begging for food, instead you are getting anyway some simple food, just eat it and move on. Like that. So better to accept food that is offered to Krishna in a temple than to imitate Rupa and Sanatana. Like that. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness to observe Sanatana Goswami's strict following of the principles of sannyasa. However, he repeatedly glanced at the woolen blanket Sanatana Goswami was wearing. Sanatana janila ei prabhurana bhaya bhotatyaga karibare chintila upaya.
Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly glancing at his valuable wooden blanket, Sanatana Goswami could understand that the Lord did not approve of it. He then began to consider a way to give it up.
So because Mahaprabhu would see everything was nice, but can you imagine somebody just wearing a kopin and a bahir vastra but with a nice posh Ray-Ban glasses on his eyes, right? And he's going there for begging. So actually many times, I don't have an immediate answer to this dilemma, but many times there's a certain standard people expect from us, and especially when we carry these costly gadgets and all these things, they get bewildered many times. I remember some outsider was just watching some video of a devotee, and the devotee was wearing some eye watch or something, so immediately they started commenting. Oh, look how sadhus are, and blah blah blah. So because people only want half an excuse to comment on sadhus, that's it makes them look cool. So that fellow was just blabbing some nonsense and things like that, but generally people have certain expectations, so at least externally. So the idea is we should conduct our life in such a way that we give ample opportunity for people to remember Krishna favorably, not in an unfavorable way. Because if you're giving them opportunity to criticize anything connected to Krishna, you are only feeding their envy further and you are distancing them away from Krishna, which is a great disservice for the order of life that you have accepted. Your only goal in life is how to increase positive remembrance of Krishna in people's heart. Right? Sometimes not speaking about Krishna can also be positive influence on people. So when it is required not to speak about Krishna, don't speak about Krishna. But when it is needed to speak about Krishna, you definitely have to speak. Nothing to debate about that. So this is very important. You are here to basically create a positive remembrance about Krishna. So he was thinking. In this way, Sanatan went to the bank of Ganges to bathe. While there, he saw a mendicant from Bengal had washed his quilt and spread it out to dry. Sanatan then told the Bengali mendicant, "My dear brother, please do me a favor. Trade me your quilt for this woolen blanket." Then the mendicant replied, "Sir, you are a respected gentleman. Why are you joking with me, huh? Why you should want to trade your valuable blanket for my torn quilt?" Sanatan Goswami said, "I am not joking, I am speaking the truth. Kindly take this blanket in exchange for your torn quilt." Saying this, Sanatan Goswami exchanged the blanket for the quilt. He then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the quilt on his shoulder. "Prabhu kahe tomara bhota kambala kotha gela. Prabhupada sab katha gosai kahila."
When Sanatan Goswami returned, the Lord asked, "Where is your woolen blanket?" Sanatan Goswami then narrated the whole story to the Lord.
"Prabhu kahe iha ami kariyachi vichara. Vishaya roga khandaila Krishna ye tomara. Sekine rakhibe tomara shesha vishaya bhoga. Roga khandi sad vidya narake shesha roga."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "I have already deliberately considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment?" After vanquishing a disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain.
Right? Tina mudrara bhota gaya madhukari grasa. Dharma hai. Dharma hani hai loka kare upahas.
It is contradictory to practice Madhukari and at the same time wear a valuable blanket. One loses his spiritual strength by doing this and one will also become an object of jokes.
See, Tina Mudrara Bhota. Three gold coins worth blanket. Sanatan wanted to give away even the last one gold coin. He sent away his servant only because he was attached to one gold coin. Now he is wearing a three gold coins worth this thing. So once our Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he had some conjunctivitis or something like that. So they had gone to, one eye doctor. So the eye doctor, he gave him some medicine, and so the conjunctivitis doesn't spread, he gave him this black color goggles. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu and Bhakti Rasami Swami Maharaj, they were coming back in train. So every station, Bhakti Rasami Maharaj would actually, how is your eye now? How is your eye now? He would lift his glasses, see, and then put it back. Every station. So Prabhu would say, are, abhi 5 minute pehle poocha raha, 5 minute mein kya hoga? Then later he realized, every time new people would come around and sit near Prabhuji, he used to do that. So just to say that is this Swami is not, this Sadhu is not wearing goggles and just happily traveling the train, but actually something was wrong with him genuinely, therefore he's, So this is very important. Because in intention, people don't see our intentions, they only see our external actions. So therefore, sadhus have to be extremely clean in their external actions. Therefore, again, the earlier discussion that we had, always try to follow dharma. Because people will never judge you based on your intentions. They'll always, the nature of the world is, they are always judgmental. Sadhus are non-sadhus, whoever it may be. Right? So they'll always judge you for your external actions. So better to maintain a clean image. Better to maintain clean actions. Especially more so when you are dealing with outsiders. They will never see, he is doing all this just for the pleasure of a spiritual master or for the pleasure of the parampara, for Krishna's pleasure. They will never see that. They will only see, this person is... Otherwise, we do so many services with our devices and gadgets and all. They are indispensable part of our seva. For preaching or coordination or management, whatever it may be. But outsiders don't know this. Baldev Prabhu was once telling this, that in our counseling meeting, that one day he was traveling in train. It was a long train. He preaches in New Bombay. So from New Bombay to come to Chowpatty, quite a long train, more than an hour. So he just put on some lecture, Maharaj's lecture, and he was hearing silently. Suddenly, one person sitting in front of him goes, "Yes, Maharaj, kaunsa gaana sun rahe hai?" As if Prabhu is listening to some Radio Mirchi or something. So public will perceive like that because their standard is that they impose their Atmavan Manyate Jagat. You look at the world the way you are. Right? So he thought Prabhu is also listening to some Radio Mirchi. So he was also asking what song you are listening to. Right? So then Prabhuji felt so embarrassed, so bad. He said, from that day I stopped listening to, I prefer to open a book and read rather than listen to lectures. Right? And people perceive that way. So we have to be extremely cautious about how we are, what kind of, because it is a great disservice on our part also to unnecessarily titillate and give negative impressions to people. Already people are carrying so much negativity. Why add more negativity from our side? Like Sanatan Goswami also, why he took that path of the hot sand? He could have gone in front of Swimadhar. He just thought, if me standing there is going to affect the pandas, the pujaris of Jagannath, their consciousness will be disturbed while they are offering puja to Jagannath. So why should I be the cause of their consciousness getting degraded? But let me go through the austerity, but I will not allow others' consciousness to get affected by me. So he's saying that he just moved away from that place. Like that. So that is the consciousness of Sanatan. Gosai kahe ye khandila kuvishaya bhoga. তার ইচ্ছা গেল মোর শেষ বিষয় রোগ।
Sanatan Goswami replied, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has saved me from the sinful life of material existence. By His desire, my last piece of material attraction is now gone."
Being pleased with Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed His causeless mercy upon Him. By the Lord's mercy, Sanatan Goswami received the spiritual strength to inquire from Him. Formerly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Ramananda Rai spiritual questions, and by Lord's causeless mercy, Ramananda Rai could properly reply. Now, by Lord's mercy, Sanatan Goswami questioned the Lord, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally supplied the truth. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally told Sanatan Goswami about Lord Krishna's real identity. He also told him about the Lord's conjugal love, His personal opulence, and the mellows of devotional service. All these truths were explained to Sanatan Goswami by the Lord Himself out of His causeless mercy. Krishna Swarupa Madhuryas Varya Bhakti Rasashrayam Tattvam Krishna Tattva, all of this Sanatanesha Kripaya Upadesha Saha. So all these concepts He has explained to him. Tabe Sanatana Prabhura Charane Dhariya Dainya Vinati Kare Dante Trinalaya.
Putting a straw in his mouth and bowing down, Sanatan Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly spoke as follows.
Nicha jati nicha sangi patita dhamma kuvishaya kupe padhi gunainu janama.
Sanatan Goswami said, I was born in a low family and my associates are all low class men. I myself am fallen and am the lowest of men. Indeed, I have passed my whole life fallen in the well of sinful materialism.
This is the first qualification to actually begin one's spiritual journey. Because Sanatan Goswami, materially speaking, he was born in the highest order of Brahmanas. Education-wise, he got the highest education. Intelligence-wise, he got the highest intelligence. Position-wise, he had the highest social position of the Prime Minister. Wealth-wise, he had the highest position of being the richest, probably the second richest person in the whole of Bengal that time. Right? This is the person who is calling himself to be like Nicha Jati Nicha Sangi Patita Adham. So that purport Prabhupada writes that how, because his association was bad, association determines one's character, not all these other external things. So, but unfortunately today the whole world is presently fallen into material existence. Everyone is a meat eater, drunkard, womanizer, gambler and what not. People are enjoying material life, committing the four basic sins. So this is the thing. So the first thing is to identify that something is wrong with you. Because if you don't think something is wrong with you, why will you take up to process of purification? So many times, that's why Tvam Akinchana Gocharam Janmaishwara Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Edhapuman Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So why Krishna is the easily obtainable by those who are materially impoverished? Because it will root you on humility. So all these skills, qualifications, they are like an obstacle in one's devotional path, to initiate one's devotional path. But Sanatan Goswami, he rose above all this. He actually saw that yes, he is totally disqualified. He didn't see any of these as qualifications worth mentioning. Then Apanara hita 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 kichu nahi jani Gramya vyavahare pandita tai satyamani.
Gramya vyavahare pandita tai satyamani.
I do not know what is beneficial for me or what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me a learned scholar and I am also thinking of myself as such.
Right, so outside in the world, everybody keeps glorifying us for things. Oh, you did so many things, you did so many things. Right, so you cannot, don't let that success get to your head. Sanatan Goswami is saying, I am only Pandita and Gram Vyavahar. All these mundane things, I am only good at that. But, and because of that, people think I am a great scholar. But actually, so this is exactly the same mood that Prabhupada also writes in the second chapter. Arjuna thought he could solve the problems of his life by his own intelligence. As long as you think you know something and you can solve your own problems yourself, you will never get the Lord's mercy. You will never get intervention of the Lord in your life. The moment you think, now I don't know anything, I surrender, I am helpless, out of nowhere, suddenly you will see Lord intervening in your life. Right? So, the primary qualification is to think that you are disqualified. And we carry this with us, especially those of us who are coming from educated backgrounds. Very easy to carry these burdens. So these are actually burdens that we are carrying in our spiritual journey. So we have to let go of these burdens at some point. Right? So that is what is Akinchana Gocharam. Then, Kripa Kariyadi More Kariyacha Udhara Apana Kripa Tekaha Kartavya Amara.
Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic life path. Now, by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is.
Okay, so now Sanatana Goswami is going to ask the most important questions, the famous questions. Okay, so let's start. Text number 102. Keyami kene amaya jaratara tapatrai. Iha nahi jani ke mena hita hai.
Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited?
So this is the question of a pandita. Not the gramya pandita, but a real pandita asks this question. Who am I? Why am I suffering? And I do not know this. So, how to overcome the solution to our suffering? So, this is the beginning of intelligent life. Higher life begins when you start answering these questions. So, Mahaprabhu is going to give answer to these questions. Sadhya sadhana tattva puchite na jani. Kripa kari sabya tattva kahata pani.
Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths.
So what is the ultimate goal? Sadhya. What is the process? Sadhana. I don't know any of these things. People foolishly would call me as expert, but see, I don't even know these basics. This is the ABCs of spiritual life. I don't even know that. So now please tell me, what do I supposed to do?
Prabhu kahe Krishna kripa tomata purna haya. Sabatatva jana tomara nahita patraya.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist.
Krishna Shakti dhara tumi jana tattva bhava. Janidardhya lagi puche sadhura bhrasva bhava.
Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness.
That's the nature of sadhu. He doesn't claim to know everything. So he's just, you're actually sitting in the sun. That's why you're feeling hot. You're literally under the sun. So, yeah. Even I moved this side. Did you not notice? This line, there is sun today. So that is the nature of a sadhu. That he tries to inquire. He always tries to inquire. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain desired goal of life very soon.
Yoga patra ho tumi bhakti pravartite. Krame sab tattva shuna kahiya tomate.
You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them.
Now, the first answer. What is the first question he asked, Sanatana Goswami? Okay, so, the answer to that question is, so who are you? Are you sure? Okay, let's see.
ಜೀವೇರ ಸ್ವರೂಪ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ನಿತ್ಯ ದಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ತತ್ಕ್ಷ ಶಕ್ತಿ ವೇದ ವೇದ ಪ್ರಕಾಶ ಸೂರ್ಯಾಂಶ ಕಿರಣ ಯೇಚೆ ಅಗ್ನಿಜ್ವಾಲ ಚಯ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ತೀನ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಹಯ
It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy.
So the first question, first answer itself is like end of all conclusive truths of philosophy is presented here. The Achintya Bheda Bheda is explained right at the beginning. That is how the standard of their conversation is. It is starting from that. Not even saying that, you know, we go through all this, you are not this body, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, you know, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Wo sab bol bol ke ek saal wo karne ke baad wo char mala karta hai, kabhi kabhi. Then finally after one day you tell all these things. Here straight away it started. What is it? Jeevera Swarupar Krishnera Nityada. So the first identity of the Jeeva is, it is an eternal servant of Krishna. Then second identity of the Jeeva is, it is a Tataksha Shakti. It is a marginal potency of the Lord. What is the meaning of this marginal potency? It is Beda Abeda Prakash. It is Beda. It is simultaneously different. But Abeda, it is non-different from the Lord also. And to explain that, an example of Surya Kiran is given there. So Prabhupada explains that concept in the purport. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that because Sanatana Goswami asked, who am I? Lord replied, you are a pure living entity. You are neither material body nor the subtle mind of subtle body of mind and intelligence. You are actually spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Like that. So then question comes that what is my relationship with matter? You are a marginal energy. You are neither spiritual energy, antaranga shakti, nor bahiranga shakti, but you are matter. Right? So we know these concepts, but it's interesting to see how directly their level of conversation started from that. Then he says, there's a quotation which comes, just as illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are also spread all over the universe. ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕ ತೀನ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಪರಿಣತಿ ಚಿತ್ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಜೀವಶಕ್ತಿ ಆರಮಾಯಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ
ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಎನರ್ಜೆಟಿಕ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ನೋನ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಇಲ್ಯೂಸರಿ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ
ವಿಷ್ಣು ಶಕ್ತಿ ಪರಾಪ್ರೋಕ್ತ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞಾಖ್ಯ ತಥಾ ಪರ ಸೊ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಶಕ್ತೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಪರಾಶಕ್ತಿ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ದೆನ್ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾ ಕರ್ಮ ಸಂಯಾಗ ಸೊ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ತೃತೀಯ ಇಸ್ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಆರ್ ಮಾಯಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ದಿ ಆರ್ ತ್ರೀ ಶಕ್ತೀಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಅಗೇನ್ ಕೋಟೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪುರಾಣ ಫೇಮಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ ಅಗೇನ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪುರಾಣ ಕೋಟೇಶನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟಿವ್ ಎನರ್ಜೀಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ಕನ್ಸೀವಬಲ್ ಟು ಕಾಮನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಆಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ದೀಸ್ ಇನ್ಕನ್ಸೀವಬಲ್ ಎನರ್ಜೀಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಮೈಂಟೆನೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನಾಯಲೇಷನ್ ಓ ಚೀಫ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಎಸೆಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಟೂ ಎನರ್ಜೀಸ್ ಪ್ರೊಸೆಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಫೈರ್ ನೇಮ್ಡ್ ಹೀಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೈಟ್ These inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the absolute truth. So Parashya Shakti Vividhya Shruyate, just like how Krishna, you know, Krishna has inconceivable energies. That's the nature of the Lord. He has inconceivable qualities. So the all, just like how fire has only two qualities. But Krishna has inconceivable and unlimited qualities associated with him. They are inseparable from him. Then O King, the Kshetrajna Shakti is a living entity. Although he has the facility to live either the material or the spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya potency which covers his constitutional position. This is an important concept. So that due to avidya, due to ignorance born out of false ego is the or ignorance which gives birth to false ego. First ignorance comes, then false ego comes. Avidya, asmita. Asmita means false identity. So the ignorance which leads to false ego is the... Okay. Suddenly I thought, why are Jain Babaji sitting in our class? You know, right? The Jains, they cover their cloth. Yeah.
No, it's dust, I understand, but suddenly I felt funny seeing both of you like this. So like that. So the idea that how it is this avidya which causes the bondage of the jiva to material existence. Then the living entity covered by the influence of Nishayans exists in different forms in the material condition. O king, he is thus proportionately freed from the influence of material energy to greater or lesser degrees. So according to the level of covering of avidya, he is accordingly that much liberated or that much conditioned. So deep-rooted avidya is deep-rooted conditioning. Like that. So aparaya mitastvanya prakriti. So apart from this, there is another superior impotency. Then Krishna bhuli sei jiva anadi bahir mukha. Atha eva maya tara deya samsara dukha.
Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy maya gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence.
So, Krishna bhuli sei jiva anadi bahir mukha. The word anadi here is also important. First is Krishna bhuli concept we understood. All the quotations before are substantiating the point that how it is avidya which is the causing this bondage. Krishna bhuli se jiva anadi bahir mukh. So in that anadi, Prabhupada explains, being in the marginal potency, he is sometimes attracted by the external illusion energy. This is the beginning of his material life. When he enters the material energy, he is subjected to the threefold time measurement of past, present and future. So the understanding of past, present and future only begins with conditioned life. In spiritual world, there is no past, present and future. Is there past, present and future? Why there is no past, present and future? Then how are things happening there? Time is conspicuous by its absence. Means? Huh? What do you mean? Things don't deteriorate. Yes, that is one influence of time that is missing. Then two. Then what is time doing then there? Pursuing the Leela, right? So we cannot even comprehend a timeless world, first of all. Right? It's like saying, you know, suddenly after at 12 o'clock I tell you, at 12:30 or at 1 o'clock I'll tell you, oh, it's 10 now, let's start the class again. Let's continue the class. See? Prabhu's holding his head like that. Oh my God. Right? But if you're in the spiritual world, you will say, are? This is very nice. We can play some more time with Krishna. We can eat more madhuram again. Right? We can eat more laddus again. Like that. So that shows we are still in the material world only. Okay? So yes, but so time is basically, it's enhancing that pastime. So when we say that the Rasleela lasted for like one night of Brahma, so that is how it is. So if Krishna wants to enjoy one particular activity, he can go on unlimitedly. And then, at the right time, he can continue the next activity also. This makes sense? So that one moment of playing with the gopas, he can expand that to unlimited time, enjoy that unlimitedly, and then, again, the next moment when he has to go home, he will go home at the right time also. That is what time is missing means that. That same 1 hour, after 1 hour Krishna has to go home, but that 1 hour activity he can make it unlimited. And then again at 1 hour or after 1 hour he can go home also. That is how time works there. Just to enhance Krishna's pastime. But past, present and future only belong to material world, they do not exist in the spiritual world. The living entity is eternal and he existed before the creation of this material world. Unfortunately he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the living entity's forgetfulness is described as anadi, which indicates that he existed since time immemorial. One should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into material existence. Like that. Kabhu swarge uthaya, kabhu narake dubaya. Dande jane raja yena nadite chubaya.
In a material condition, the living entity is sometimes raised to the higher planetary systems and material prosperity and sometimes drowned in a hellish situation. His state is exactly like that of a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water.
Actually, the jiva is nitya mukta. It is not bound by matter in a sense. Prabhupada quotes this word. Asangohi ayam purushaha from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which says, the living entity is always free from the contamination of the material world. One who is not materially infected and who does not forget Krishna and his master is called Nitya Mukta. So from time immemorial, the Nitya Mukta living entity has been a devotee of Krishna and his only attempt has been to serve Krishna. Thus, he never forgets his eternal servitorship to Krishna. Like that. So, the whole journey of the jiva in the material world is covered like this with the example of, so just as he's put in the water, he's grasping for breath, he's about to die, and that's naraka. Then suddenly his head is removed, that is swarga, and he says, this is life. And again he goes down. So like that, he's going through the cycle of swarga uthaya and narake dubaya. Going up and down. That's the only thing which is happening. Then that verse, famous verse, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesha Syat, that verse is quoted in the next verse. Then, Sadhu Shastra Kripaya Yadi Krishnon Mukhahaya.
Sadhu Shastra Kripaya Yadi Krishnon Mukhahaya.
Sei Jivanistare Maya Tahare Chadaya.
If the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of the saintly persons who voluntarily preach scriptural injunctions and help him to become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya who gives him up.
That sambandha begins with connection with who? Sadhu, Shastra and Kripa. Kripa of Krishna, through the mercy of the saintly persons who voluntarily preach scriptures. So, how we say Guru Sadhu Shastra, the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotees and the Shastra. Through this one comes to Krishna consciousness. That is how the conditioned soul liberated. So, Prabhupada writes a nice purport here that how saintly persons, Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord, preach Krishna consciousness on the basis of the Vedic literature. It is only by their mercy that the conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness. When awakened, he no longer enjoys the materialistic way of life. Bhakti para isha anubhavena viraktir anyatracha. Everything else, he is just disconnected. That is what is a test of bhakti. His anubhav, he is experiencing the para isha, the transcendental Lord. Virakti, he develops detachment from anyatra. Anything disconnected from the Lord. Then you may say, what do you mean, anything disconnected from the Lord? Everything is connected to the Lord. Tell me one thing disconnected from the Lord. That which can potentially distract it from the Lord is paraisha. So that is virakti, anyatracha is that act. So that things we disconnect ourselves. So that is the definition of maya. Maya means that which is not. So what is that which is not? That thing which is to be used in Krishna's service, if not used in Krishna's service, is maya. Right? Not the Mayavadi understanding of illusion. Okay. Then Daiviyeshi Gunamai is quoted. Maya Mugdha Jivera Nahi Swataha Krishna Jnana. Jivera Kripaya Kaila Krishna Veda Purana.
The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and it supplements the Puranas.
So, Maya's business is to keep the conditioned soul forgetful. So, how do you overcome avidya? By vidya. Of course, not only vidya, If you say only Vidya, then we become Jnanis or Yogis. Through devotion, but Vidya leading to devotion is the way to overcome Avidya. So that is what the scriptures are offering. So Bhagavatam quotes, Yaya Sammohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. So that verse, it is quoted that how, due to the external energy of living entity, although transcendental three modes, thinks himself as a material product, thus undergoes a reaction. So like that. So even though it is actually para, the living entity is the marginal energy beyond the material energy, still because the influence of Maya, it identifies so strongly with matter. Our very existence is centered around matter. That is how the jiva falsely thinks. In this way, one totally becomes a servant of the illusory energy. Later, the bewildered soul becomes a servant of mental speculation. But in any case, he is simply covered by illusory energy. Even the so-called process of self-realization is also centered around material energy only. Karma, jnana and all these things. So, therefore, Vyasdev has compiled, as a Shaktavesh avatar, he compiled the Vedic literatures. That is how. So the purpose of the Vedic literature is explain the following verses. What do they do? Shastra Guru Atma Rupe Apanare Janana. Krishna Mora Prabhutrata Jivera Hayagyana.
The forgetful conditioned soul is educated by Krishna through the Vedic literatures. The realized spiritual master and the super soul. Through these, he can understand the supreme personality of Godhead as he is. And he can understand that Lord Krishna is his eternal master and deliverer from the clutches of Maya. In this way, one can acquire real knowledge of his conditioned life and can come to understand how to attain liberation.
So, the Krishna's mercy to rekindle that vidya in the consciousness of the soul comes through three means. Shastra Guru Atma Rupe Apanara Janana. Shastra Guru Atma is the super soul. As Chaitya Guru. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayesha Ajanti Prabhupada quotes it. So these are the three powerful ways in which Krishna is trying to revive the lost consciousness of the jiva. Veda Shastra Kahe Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Krishna Prapya Sambandha Bhakti Praptera Sadhana.
The Vedic literatures give information about the living entity's eternal relationship with Krishna, which is called Sambandha. The living entity's understanding of this relationship is called Abhideya. Returning home back to Godhead is the ultimate goal of life and is called Prayojan.
So now some definitions will come. Abhideya nama bhakti prema prayojana purushardha shiromani prema mahadhana.
Devotional service or sense activity for the satisfaction of the Lord is called Abhideya because it can develop one's original love of God, which is the goal of life. This goal is the living entity's topmost interest and greatest wealth. Thus, one attains the platform of transcendental loving service unto the Lord.
So, when one engages in devotional service called Abhideya, when the living entity actually develops love of God, he is just Prayojan. And when he reads books like Bhagavad Gita, comes to Krishna, that is Sambandha. In other words, one who becomes fully Krishna conscious and attains the perfection of life. Like that. So these three concepts we know, I'll not elaborate much in that. Krishna Madhurya Sevananda Praptira Karana. Krishna Seva Kare Ara Krishna Rasa Aswadana.
By the words,
When one attains
the transcendental bliss of an intimate relationship with Krishna, he renders service to him and tastes the mellows of Krishna consciousness.
So the real taste in Krishna consciousness begins when one, not immediately, but when one establishes Sambandha, purifies himself through Abhideya, then the goal is reached. So that is when one attains to the transcendental bliss of intimate connection with Krishna. So one has to go through these three stages. Iha te drishtanta ye che daridre raghara. Sarvagya Ashi Dukha Dekhi Puchayata Hara.
The following parable may be given. Once a learned astrologer came to the house of a poor man and, seeing his distressed condition, questioned him. The astrologer asked, Why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere. Just as the words of the astrologer, Sarvagya, gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literatures advise one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition. By the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established. Similarly, the Vedic literature advises us that our real connection is with Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So actually we are all very wealthy. We all have inherited a great property. Do you know that, Abhigarang Prabhu? You are a son of a multi-billionaire. You just don't know where the wealth is. So where to find the wealth? Backup room. Where is the wealth? To understand where the wealth is, you have to read the Vedic literatures. Then you will get the keys in the Vedas, the Shastras. So that is how this parable, this analogous story is being described. Continue.
Although being assured of his father's treasure, the poor man cannot acquire this treasure by such knowledge alone. Therefore, the astrologer had to inform him of the means whereby he could actually find the treasure. The astrologer said, "The treasure is in this place, but if you dig towards the southern side, the wasps and drones will rise and you will not get your treasure. If you dig on the western side, there is a ghost who will create such a disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. If you dig on the northern side, there is a black big snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. However, if you dig up a small quantity of dirt on the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure."
So we'll read this purport. So Vedic literature, they talk about all this karma, jnana, ashtanga, bhakti and all these different paths. Right? So each of these three things, karma kanda, jnana kanda and the yogic process, all these three are spread in these four directions. Bhakti is there towards the east, towards Bengal, right? Towards Mayapur. So here Prabhupada writes, Bhaktiyama Abhijanati. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the following statement. The eastern side represents devotion to Lord Krishna. The southern side represents the process of fruitive activity. So if you go to South India, you'll see a lot of karmakanda happening there. We are the masters of karmakanda, which ends in material gain. The western side represents jnanakanda. All the speculative philosophies are coming from the west. The process of mental speculation or sometimes siddhikanda, the mystic yogic system. The northern side represents mystic yoga or sometimes the speculative mood. So north, all the Babajis are all the mystic yogis are all in Himalayas, north. So if you go to north, you will get affected by yoga. If you go to west, you will get affected by yoga. No? Yoga is popular in the west now. Right? Through all this philosophical thing. If you go to south, you will get affected by... So each of these, the mystic yoga is compared to as a black snake. The Western philosophies are compared to as a ghost. Because what does a snake do? When a snake bites you, you get affected with poison. And without you knowing, suddenly you die. You think you are well, but suddenly you die. And the ghost, what does it do? Ghost haunts you. Very difficult to overcome the influence of ghost. Right? When you're haunted by a ghost, you go through great ordeal. So these mental Western philosophies, these speculative philosophies, once they enter into your head, very difficult to give it up. They'll keep haunting you for a very long time. And then these wasps and all these bugs, they're constantly biting you. Right? You get little honey, but you have to undergo the bites. So karmakanda is like that. Little pleasure you get, but to do that, so much of headache in the karmakanda rituals. But only if you go to the east, the real bhakti comes out. like that. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Okay, the question is, when it seems they were all going to north, by default Pandavas went to north, Narad Muni went towards north, 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 north is mentioned. Both, answer is both actually. North is a direction of ascension, you progress. Achha, interestingly, this east also is very important. I just remembered when you asked me this question. So east in Hindi is Purab. So in the yoga science also, all the asanas, wherever you are going forward or bending forward, this is the east and this is the west. Back is, backwardness is west, forward thinking is east. So Purab, so Purvottanasana means bending forward, Paschimuttana means bending back, like that. But of course, back to your question about, so the idea is north is also a sign of ascension when you are going towards higher, top. So they use the word north there. But yeah, back then the mystic way of living the body was the popular way. So you will see all these great personalities are going towards the Himalayas to leave their body. Even Prithu Maharaj also goes towards north. So many exalted people into north. Yeah. Okay. Aiche Shastra kahe karma jnana yoga tyaji. Bhakti Krishna vasha haye bhakti tara bhaji.
The revealed scriptures conclude that one should give up fruitive activity, speculative knowledge and the mystic yoga system and instead take to devotional service by which Krishna can be fully satisfied.
This is a nice quotation in this regard. My dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, through impersonal monism or integral study of absolute truth, nor through Vedas, nor through austerities, nor through charities or acceptance of sannyas can satisfy me, as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service. Yata bhaktir mama orchita. Bhakti is what that will inspire Krishna. Bhaktyamam ek grahya, that another verse is quoted. अथ एव भक्ति कृष्ण प्राप्तेर उपाया अभिधेय बलितारे सर्वशास्त्रिकाया.
The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This system is therefore called Abhideya. This is the verdict of all revealed scriptures.
So even though the Shastras are giving different paths to different people, finally, the conclusion is Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. That is also one of the conclusions of the Shastras. So, other paths which are given are only like, you know, thoda bahut khelo aap, thoda practice karlo. But finally, everybody has to come to the path of Bhakti and attain perfection. Like that.
Dhana paile yeche shuka bhoga phala paya. Sukha bhoga hai te dukha apani palaya.
Sukha bhoga hai te dukha apani palaya.
When one actually becomes rich, he naturally enjoys all kinds of happiness. When one is actually in a happy mood, all distressful conditions go away by themselves. Mm. No extraneous endeavor is needed.
So, coming to bhakti is coming back to your natural state. Right? So, just like how you all will be blissful very soon now. In the next 10 seconds, you all will be extremely blissful. Why? Right, but that is only after class, huh? Not now. Sorry, they are already looking blissed out to me. Yeah, they came from the east. Now, so when one is naturally rich, you should sit there and see that no ants come. Hmm. Yeah, sirf dekhna, okay? So just like how, you know, Prabhupada gives an example. If you have $1 million, you already have 10 rupees. Like that, if you already are doing the process of bhakti, all the other secondary things will automatically come. So read the translations, 141.
When one actually becomes rich, he naturally enjoys all kinds of happiness. Hmm. When one is actually in a happy mood, all distressful conditions go away by themselves. no extraneous endeavor is needed. Similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. When one is so situated that he can taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death comes to an end. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. In the Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life.
So our sambandha is Krishna, our abhideya is Krishna bhakti and our prayojan is Krishna prema. Krishna, Krishna bhakti, prema, teena mahadhana. These are our three greatest wealths. Like that. Continue.
In all revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, the central point of attraction is Krishna. When complete knowledge of him is realized, the bondage of maya, the illusory energy, is automatically broken. There are many types of Vedic literatures and supplementary Puranas. In each of them, there are particular demigods who are spoken of as the chief demigods. This is just to create an illusion for moving and non-moving living entities. Let them perpetually engage in such imaginations. However, when one analytically studies all these Vedic literatures collectively, he comes to the conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the one and only Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one accepts the Vedic literature by interpretation or even by dictionary meaning, directly or indirectly, the ultimate declaration of Vedic knowledge points to Lord Krishna. What is the purpose of all, Lord Krishna said, what is the purpose of all Vedic literatures? On whom do they focus? Who is the object of all speculation? Outside of me, no one knows these things. Now you should know that all these activities are aimed at ordaining and setting forth me. The purpose of the Vedic literatures is to know me by different speculations, either by indirect understanding or by dictionary understanding. Everyone is speculating about me. The essence of all Vedic literatures is to distinguish me from Maya. By considering the illusory energy, one comes to the platform of understanding me. In this way, one becomes free from speculation about the Vedas and comes to me as the conclusion. Thus, one is satisfied. The transcendental form of Lord Krishna is unlimited and also has unlimited opulence. He possesses the internal potency, external potency, and marginal potency. The material and the spiritual world are transformations of Krishna's external and internal potencies respectively. Therefore, Krishna is the original source of both the material and the spiritual manifestations. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the 10th object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all surrendered souls. He is known as Sri Krishna and he is the ultimate source of all the universes. Let me offer my obeisances unto him.
So this purport. So if you remember, of all the topics that we said Mahaprabhu was teaching them, one of them was about the tattva. So he is covering all this. Understanding Krishna and his energies, this is the tattva. So Krishna, Jiva, and the relationship between these two, of course, and how many different forms the Lord has. So that whole, your second canto study that you did, second chapter of Bhagavatam, that study that you have, that entire chart will now be revealed by the Lord to Mahaprabhu. What are the Prakash avataras, Vilas avataras, all the, how many different expansions Krishna has, that whole science will now be revealed. But the basis is understanding Krishna to be the main Ashraya Tattva. He is a Samambhonam, he is a basis of all these energies. Okay, continue.
Sanatana Goswami is called as Sambandha Acharya.
Yes.
We see Lord has given all the three Prayojan, Abhideya, Sambandha also. So
aise nahi ki syllabus aadhe mein chhod diya chal tum ye pustak likho, aisa nahi hai. He gave all three to all of them, right? So it's not that then to Raghunath Das Goswami, what teachings did he give? If he is a Prayojan Acharya, you know, he just told him about, you know, how Bhalonak Paiwe, Bhalonak Haiwe. So those are the things that we read. So all three of them got all, but the idea is mainly as a final instruction, he instructed, Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to teach about how a devotee, vyavahar of a devotee, how he should conduct himself. That is the instruction given to Sanatana Goswami. and to Rupa Goswami to highlight the concept of Rasatattva. So that was the instruction that they got. So therefore, the understanding the science of Rasa is part of the Abhideya. And understanding the Vyavahar, the etiquettes and dealings, that all forms the Sambandha. To Raghunadas Goswami, he taught him the concept of how complete, through his actions, Raghunadas Goswami taught surrender to Govardhan, surrender to a devotee of the Lord, dedicating one's life in serving a devotee of the Lord. Of course, to setting the highest exemplary standard also of unalloyed devotion, that is what Raghunadas Goswami has done. So through his actions, he has taught how, because if you see the austere life that Raghunath Goswami led, that is ultimate conclusion of all our teachings. Not to live austere life, but to live a life of complete dependence on the Lord. That is the prayojan. Only at that level of prema one can be able to live at that level of surrender. Like that. Not that other two didn't have, not that Rupa and Sanatan had less prema or anything like that. But just predominantly their teachings had this component like that. Okay? Now, Krishna Swarupa Vichara Shuna Sanatana, Rupa Vichara Suna Sanatana, Advaya Jnana Tattva Vraje Vrajendra Nandana.
O Sanatan, please hear about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. He is the absolute truth, devoid of duality, but present in Vrindavan as the son of Maharaj Nanda.
Continue.
Krishna is the original source of everything and the sum total of everything. He appears as the supreme youth and his whole body is composed of spiritual bliss. He is the shelter of everything and master of everyone.
So he is Sarva Adi, he is a Sarva Amshi, he is a Kaishora Shekara. He is a youthful 16-year-old boy who is Adi and he is Amshi. All the Amshas that you see are, he is the source of all those Amshas. And Sarva Ashraya, Sarva Ishvara, like that.
Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The original supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. His original name is Govinda. He is full of all opulences and his eternal abode is known as Goloka Vrindavanam. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. There are three kinds of spiritual processes for understanding the absolute truth. The processes of speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and bhakti yoga. According to these three processes, the absolute truth is manifested as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan.
So now these three concepts will be explained. What is Brahman? What is Paramatma? What is Bhagavan? Continue.
The manifestation of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is without variety, is the rays of Krishna's bodily effulgence. It is exactly like the sun. When the sun is seen from by our ordinary eyes, it appears to consist simply of effulgence. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. The Paramatma, the Supersoul feature, is a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original soul of all living entities. Krishna is a source of Paramatma. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all Atmas, living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his own internal potency.
So this is a very nice verse, famous verse from the 10th canto. You might remember this. Why we all like ourselves? Why do you like yourself, Prabhu? Yes, because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. So basically we are not loving ourselves, you are loving Krishna. because you are Krishna. Yeah. So in that sense, you are Krishna. You are an amsha of Krishna. Yeah. You are Krishna's. Yeah. So like that. So that theme. This is a very famous theme. This is our once our Gaurang Darshan Prabhu gave a whole Bhagavatam class on this one verse, on this theme actually. That how all the so-called material affinities and affections of this world are actually a misunderstood form of this one principle. Actually, we are loving Krishna, but we don't know that we are loving Krishna. Every time we love ourselves and something connected to us, we are trying to love Krishna only. But we just don't know that. Like that. Okay, continue.
But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Only by devotional service activity can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord, which is perfect in all respects. Although His form is one, He can expand His form into unlimited numbers by His supreme will. The Supreme
Person... We'll read this verse. Swayam Rupa Tad Ekatma Rupa Avesha Nama.
Swayam Rupa Tad Ekatma Rupa
Avesha Nama. Prathamei Tina Rupe Rahina Bhagavana.
Prathamei Tina Rupe Rahina Bhagavana.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in three principal forms: Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa.
So, what are these three? Swayam Rupa. So, Rupa Goswami, he writes in our Laghu Bhavatamrita that he quotes: the Tad Ekatma Rupa form exists simultaneously with the Swayam Rupa form and are non-different. At the same time, their bodily features are specific activities appear to be different. Tad Ekatma Rupa forms are divided into two categories: Swamsha and Vilasamsha. So before that, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that does not depend on any other form is Swayam Rupa. That is Krishna in Himself, full, actual Swayam Bhagavan. That is the Swayam Rupa. Then there is Tad Ekatma Rupa, which exists. So all is Swamshas, Vilasamshas, they all come in the category of the Tad Ekatma Rupas. Then Aveshas are a living entity who is specifically empowered by the Lord with knowledge and strength, is technically called Avesha Rupa. So Shakta Avesha. So these are three main categories. Then, continue.
The original form of the Lord, Swayam Rupa, is exhibited in two forms, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha. Hmm. In His original form as Swayam Rupa, Krishna is observed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Hmm. In His original form, Krishna manifests Himself in two features, Prabhava and Vaibhava. Hmm. He expands His one original form into many, as He did during the Ras Leela dance.
Right.
When the Lord married 16,108 wives at Dwarka, He expanded Himself into many forms. These expansions and expansions at the Rasa dance are called Prabhava Prakash, according to the directions of revealed scriptures. The Prabhava Prakash expansions... The Prabhava Prakash expansions of Lord Krishna are not like the expansions of the sage Saubhari.
Hmm.
Had they been so, Narada would not have been astonished to see them.
Hmm.
It is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded Himself in 16,000 similar forms to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. If one form or feature is differently manifested according to different emotional features, it is called Vaibhava Prakash. When the Lord expands Himself in innumerable forms, there is no difference in the forms. But due to different features, bodily colors and weapons, the names are different. In different Vedic scriptures, there are prescribed rules and regulative principles for worshipping different types of forms. When one is purified by these rules and regulations, he worships you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although manifested in many forms, you are one.
Hmm.
The first manifestation of the Vaibhav feature of Krishna is Sri Balramji. Sri Balram and Krishna have different bodily colors, but otherwise, Sri Balram is equal to Krishna in all respects.
So, in this purport, again, Prabhupada is explaining what we read earlier. That's the Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, Avesha Rupa. Then, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. So, Swamshas are, again, potencies. Karna, Daksha, Vishnu, the three Purusha avataras. Then all the Leela avataras like Narsimha, Vamana, Matsya, Kurma, all these come under that category. Like that. Then the Vilasaru. So in your Subodhini, I think there's a chart on this. Yeah, exactly. So that may probably be your homework, your exam tomorrow. Like that. Continue.
An example of Vaibhav Prakash is the son of Devaki. He sometimes has two hands and sometimes four hands.
Mm.
When the Lord is two-handed, he is called Vaibhav Prakash. And when he is four-handed, he is called Prabhav Prakash. In his original form, the Lord dresses like a cowherd boy and thinks himself one. When he appears as Vasudev, the son of Vasudev and Devaki, his dress and consciousness are those of a Kshatriya, a warrior. When one compares the beauty, opulence, sweetness and intellectual pastimes of Vasudev, the warrior, to Krishna, the cowherd boy, son of Nanda Maharaj, one sees that Krishna's attributes are more pleasant.
Mm.
Indeed, Vasudev is agitated just to see the sweetness of Govinda, and a transcendental greed awakens in him to enjoy that sweetness. My dear friend, this dramatic actor appears like a second form of my own self. Like a picture, he displays my pastimes as a cowherd boy overflowing with wonderfully attractive sweetness and fragrance, which are so dear to the damsels of Raja. When I see such a display, my heart becomes greatly excited. I long for such pastimes and desire a form exactly like that of the damsels of Raja.
So Vasudev is speaking this.
Oh.
Krishna as Vasudev is speaking that I wish I had a form like that about Vrindavan Krishna.
One instance of Vasudev's attraction to Krishna occurred when Vasudev saw the Gandharva dance at Mathura. Another instance occurred in Dwarka when Vasudev was surprised to see a picture of Krishna. Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it like Srimati Radharani. When that body is a little differently manifested and its features are a little different in transcendental emotion and form, it is called Tad Ekatma. In the Tad Ekatma Rupa, there are pastime expansions, that is Vilas, and personal expansions, Swamsha. Consequently, there are two divisions. According to pastime and personal expansion, there are various differences. Again, the Vilas forms are divided into twofold categories, Prabhava and Vaibhava. Again, the pastimes of these forms are of unlimited variety. The chief quadruple expansions are named Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. These are called Prabhava Vilas. Balram, who has the same original form as Krishna, is himself a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and he also considers himself a member of the Kshatriya race in Dwarka. Thus, his color and dress are different and he is called a pastime form of Krishna. Sri Balram is a Vaibhav Prakash, manifestation of Krishna. He is also manifested in the original quadruple expansions of Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. These are Prabhava Vilas expansions with different emotions. The first expansion of the Chaturvyuha quadruple forms is unique. There is nothing to compare with them. These quadruple forms are the source of unlimited quadruple forms. These four Prabhava pastime forms of Lord Krishna reside eternally in Dwarka and Mathura. From the original quadruple expansions, 24 forms are manifested. They differ according to the placement of the weapons in their four hands. They are called Vaibhava Vilas. Lord Krishna again expands, and within the Pravyoma, the spiritual sky, he is situated in fullness as the four-handed Narayana, accompanied by expansions of the original quadruple forms. Thus, the original quadruple forms again manifest themselves in a second set of quadruple expansions. The residences of these second quadruple expansions cover the four directions. Again,
there is nothing much for me to explain here. This is how Krishna created the universe, right? So we're just going through the flow.
Again, these quadruple forms expand three times, beginning with Keshava. That is the fulfillment of the pastime forms. Out of the Chaturvyuha, there are three expansions of each and every form, and they are named differently according to the position of the weapons. The Vasudeva expansions are Keshava, Narayana, and Madhava. The expansions of Sankarsana are Govinda, Vishnu, and Madhusudana. This Govinda is different from the original Govinda, for he is not the son of Maharaj Nanda.
Mm.
The expansions of Pradyumna are Trivikrama, Vamana, and Sridhara. The expansions of Aniruddha are Hrishikesha, Padmanabha, and Damodara. These 12 are the predominating deities of the 12 months, Keshava is a predominating deity of Agrahayana and Narayana is a predominating deity of Pausha. The predominating deity of the month of Magha is Madhava and the predominating deity of the month of Falguna is Govinda. Vishnu is a predominating deity of Chaitra and Madhusudana is the predominating deity of Vaishak. In the month of Jaishta, the predominating deity is Trivikrama. In Ashada, the deity is Vamana. In Shravana, the deity is Sridhar. And in Bhadra, the deity is Rishikesha. In the month of Ashvina, the predominating deity is Padmanabha. And in Kartik, it is Damodar. This Damodar is different from the Radha Damodar, the son of Randa Maharaj in Vrindavan. When putting the 12 tilaka marks on the 12 places of the body, one has to chant the mantra consisting of these 12 Vishnu names. After daily worship, when one anoints the different parts of the body with water, these names should be chanted as one touches each part of the body.
So you all know that mantra, right? Please recite.
Lalate Keshavam Dhyayena Narayanam Athodare
Vakshastare
Anthakupake Vishnave Vishnuksha Bahaucha Madhusudana Trivikramam Kandharetu Vamanam Vamapaksh Shridharam Vama Bahaucha Rishikesham Tukandhare Prashthecha Padmanabham Cha Katyam Damodaram Naseth.
It's there in the purport in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I just commented.
Sorry, bro. In that Adhik month, whom should we worship? Purushottam. Purushottam is same as Keshava, Govindam, Narayanam, same person only. How does the form of Purushottam look like? Let me see. It doesn't come in. It will see. There's a later on in one of the expressions. The 24 permutations and combinations according to the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma comes. Let's uncover Purushottam there. Literally, the rest of the chapter is all data like this. So let's continue.
From Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, there are 8 additional pastime expansions. O Sanatana, please hear me as I mention these names, their names. The 8 pastime expansions are Purushottama, Achyuta, Nrisimha, Janardana, Hari, Krishna, Adhokshaja and Upendra. Of these 8 expansions, 2 are pastime forms of Vasudev. Their names are Adhokshaja and Purushottama. The 2 pastime forms of Sankarsana are Upendra and Achyuta. The pastime forms of Pradyumna are Nrisimha and Janardana. And the pastime forms of Aniruddha are Hari and Krishna. All these 24 forms constitute the chief Prabhava Vilas of pastimes forms of the Lord. They are named differently according to the position of the weapons in their hands. Of all these, the 4 forms that differ in dress and features are distinguished as Vaibhava Vilas. Of them, Padmanabha, Trivikrama, Nrisimha, Vamana, Hari Krishna and so on all have different bodily features. Vasudev and the 3 others are direct Prabhava pastime forms of Lord Krishna. Of these quadruple forms, the pastime expansions are 20 in number. All these forms preside over different Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world, beginning from the east in consecutive order. In each of the 8 directions, there are 3 different forms. Although they all have their residences eternally in the spiritual sky, some of them are situated within the material universes. There is an eternal residence of Narayana in the spiritual sky. In the upper portion of the spiritual sky is a planet known as Krishnaloka, which is filled with all opulences. The planet Krishnaloka is divided into 3 sections, Gokula, Mathura and Dwarka. Lord Keshav eternally resides at Mathura and Lord Purushottam, known by the name Jagannath, eternally resides at Neelachal. At Prayag, the Lord is situated at Bindu Madhav and at Mandar Parvat, the Lord is known as Madhusudana. Vasudev, Padmanabha and Janardana reside at Anandaranya. At Vishnukanchi, there is Lord Vishnu. At Mayapur, Lord Hari. And throughout the universe, a variety of other forms.
Gaurahari. That's Lord Gaurahari. He is there in Mayapur. So all these forms are Murti forms. These are all like deities. So actually, now not many of these temples are there. But all over the world, not just in Bhumanda, Bharat Varsha or Bharat land, modern India, But all over the world, there have been these special Vishnu deities which have been installed. Every now and then, we keep hearing these archaeological reports of some ancient deities being found and all these things. But all the different forms are there. So all these forms as murtis are there in all these different... So Prabhupada highlights that in the that particular purport. Okay, so we'll end here for today. Practically the rest of the chapter is data like this only. So we'll see. We'll cover that and we'll try to see if we can start the next chapter also tomorrow. Okay, because there's not much to explain. If you ask me, Prabhu, why Purushottam is in north and you know, then I don't, there's no answer for that. That is how it is. Right? There's no logic here. It's only information. But you can see the scope of Sambandhagyan. This is what Sambandhagyan is. Like that. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki. Anta Koti Vaishnava in the ki. Jai.